Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. I do hope you enjoyed the last 3 days of programming while I was taking my chemo at the hospital, Carolina Medical Center. And we had a great venue for you. We had two shows on A Meaningful World by Jonathan Witt and Ben Weicker, which I thought fit in very, very nicely with what we were talking about all last month when we talked about Darwin's dilemma, or the fact that Darwin had built a house of cards. We also, of course, had John Stone Street on yesterday, and I think that was, again, a very important interview that I did with him before I went into the hospital, and it is an interview I did because I'm really interested in putting his book into your hands. It's titled A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World. That book, as well as we have an alternate book that you may be interested in, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future, and What You Can Do About It by George Barna. Either one of those books available for those who want to support the ministry this month, and I hope many of you do. You can take a look at the books on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to start the broadcast with an article that I read. This is an August 2 article. It's a New York Post article, and it's titled, Millennials Are Choosing Pizza, Push-ups, and Video Games Over Church. Lauren Stussy goes on to write that just 27 to 28% of people in their 20s and early 30s attend religious services regularly. And that is according to the latest figures from the Pew Research Center. In other words, there's a mass exodus of millennials out of the church. Lauren goes on to write that instead, millennials are now getting their spiritual fix from secular pursuits like fitness or like Facebook groups, community-driven activities that create a sense of fellowship, that inspire meaningful reflection, and sometimes include, well, uplifting music. One example she gives with respect to fitness is Madison Blank, who grew up Jewish but now is a congregant in the Church of Sweat. Her favorite instructor, Holly, creates a spiritual atmosphere by combining calorie burning with enlightening encouragement. And she also says that the vibe of motivational support is intentional. The fitness trainer grew up Catholic but no longer practices the faith. Her students are mostly millennial, she says, and classes periodically end with members catching the feels and crying. Blank says that she's so emotionally enriched, she stopped going to synagogue regularly fitness has allowed her to connect with her more inner self than sitting through a religious service. A great instructor provides spiritual guidance and builds a community. Of course, this is essentially what Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg declared when he said that social media is filling the void left by organized religion. So I suppose in the midst of all of that, we have to think very carefully and clearly about what church means. So often I say to people that he who aims at nothing invariably hits it. And so we have to know what we're looking for when we're looking for a healthy, well-balanced church. A church in which we can worship God and experience His graces through word and sacrament. A church in which we can have meaningful relationships with not video partners or partners in sweat, but meaningful relationships with people in the whole sphere of life. And ultimately, a context in which we learn to be able to communicate what we believe and why we believe it, so that we can have an impact on the world, an impact that is desperately needed. Because when you think about what's going on today, we're talking about a decline in Christianity in America that is simply stunning. I remember the old statistics of a few years ago that we used to quote. If you think about the millennial generation, think about people that are 18 to 29 years of age, there are some 3.7 million of them, and 2.6 million will leave the church in that interim of time between 18 and 29, and the vast majority will never return. And then in his book, America at the Crossroads, George Barna points out that based on his research, and he's been doing this for a long time, he now assumes that there are 12 million fully devoted followers of Christ amid a nation of 245 million adults. But I think he puts a pretty good spin on this when you think about it. He says, do these 12 million constitute just a few grains of sand on the beach, virtually invisible among the great masses that are deaf to the voice of God, or do they represent the holy remnant that God will use to restore this wayward nation? And then here's what I was sort of saying, a great spin, and I don't mean in spin in a negative sense. I mean, he's asking the question, which is not the obvious question. I think there's only 12 million, but he says, can you envision the difference that 12 million people devoted to a great and holy cause could make? Do you want to be part of it and find out? So the statistics are not just to curse the darkness or make you aware of what's going on, but it's so that you can build a lighthouse in the midst of desperate times. And these are desperate times for America. No matter what topic you choose to examine, the deeper your evaluation goes, the more certain you can be that our nation is in trouble and heading in the wrong direction. And in the book, A Practical Guide to Culture, what I love about this book is John Stonestreet and Brett Kundle use very practical illustrations to point us to what the problems are. If you're thinking by way of analogy about Islam, the waves are the terrorist attacks. But there's also a rip current. And it's not as visible, but it's deadly. And I've often called that migration without assimilation, the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. But when you think about what's going on in our culture, there are waves, those things that we see that are very visible. They ring the alarm bells in our head. And then there are invisible currents that are doing enormous damage to millennial generation, but to our culture as a whole. And that's why this practical guide to culture, and it is very practical. The reason I'm excited about it, quite frankly, is my kids read it. And for example, my son David, I asked him, what do you think about this? I think this is really a great book. Now, when he told me that he thought it was really a great book, I knew it was a really good book because he has very keen awareness and very keen tastes as well. So again, both of those books available for those who support the ministry all this month. And a reminder that the future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. So what is the key? As Stone Street and Kundal point out, the key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to most intelligently and strategically respond to emerging circumstances. That is wisdom. And, you know, when I was in the hospital, I did a little Facebook Live, and I mentioned the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. And this is really what we're talking about. We need to know how to engage as Christians in wise behavior.
Yes, and I feel like part of the problem has been the church, for one reason or another, has not found their way into what you called pizza, what was it, pizza, you know, exercise and video games. Like, how can we engage in these things in a Christian manner? Like, what things are okay? And I feel like sometimes these conversations have not been had, and it's a classic case of, you know, the Pharisees when they looked at Jesus and they were like, why are you hanging out with these tax collectors? Why would you do that? And Jesus is like, why aren't you ministering to these people? My kingdom is of this world. And my kingdom is for this world, rather. And we're not doing those things. And so we're letting Mark Zuckerberg kind of sweep in where the church should be. I feel like the church has gotten insular and it's about time that it kind of reaches out and finds how, you know, video games aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves. It depends on the video game. What is the purpose of the video game? Just like not any a book depends on what's in the book.
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, I was looking at the same article. You mentioned the video games, and the author, Lauren, says that a guy named Alex, 22, grew up going to a Methodist church, loved the community and spiritual satisfaction it provided. Still, he left organized religion after high school, describing himself as spiritual but not religious. And now, video games offer him the same solace without the deep fear of going to hell. He says, by connecting him digitally to a community of other players, many of whom are his good friends. He goes on to say his favorite game is Witcher 3, and now has practically replaced the church as his spiritual guide. A quote, I still constantly find new ways to think about the issues I face in the real world, though the challenges in this game, Witcher 3, are very biblical, and you learn a lot about yourself. So he's got a video game, and video games are not bad in and of themselves, but they can't be a replacement for the body of Christ. And a video game will never allow you to partake of the uncreated energies of God. They will never allow you to partake of the graces by which we can become by grace what God is by nature.
No, that's very true. And I think that these conversations, like kids like playing video games, you know, like I remember I went to a church and a lot of the high school boys, junior high boys, you could not get their attention. But what a lot of the counselors would do is they would take them over to their house. They would play Mario Kart, driving race cars. And through the video game, you were able to talk about deep spiritual issues because their mind was kind of focused on them, on something else. They weren't trying to, like, feeling embarrassed by showing something deep and personal. They were distracted by the video game. Oh, yeah, I think this about that. And they were able to relate to the kids that way. So I think finding ways to use video games and help the kids navigate, this is a good video game because of this. This is a bad video game because of this. You know, it's highly, you know, has a lot of killing, or there is something spiritual that's not necessarily good. And having the church engage with those things so that we show them that isn't a replacement, but it can be fine and good.
Yeah, and I think your point about connectivity, point you made earlier on, is very, very important as well. I mean, you cannot connect with the body of Christ or with people, flesh and blood people, apart from being intimately knit together with the bonds of love in a healthy, well-balanced church. And unfortunately, people are finding replacements for that, and those replacements will never satisfy. We are coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember the two books available all this month for those who support the ministry, A Practical Guide to Culture and America at the Crossroads, both barn burners. Check it out on the web, equip.org.
More Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. Once awakened, we need the conviction and spiritual spine to stand against the forces tearing at the moral fabric of a nation already in decline. Once on our feet, we need to speak up and courageously counter the cultural lies and rampant nonsense that are eroding the foundations of our most basic freedoms. That's why this month we are offering the strategic resource, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It. To receive your copy of the book, America at the Crossroads, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are offering George Barna's strategic book, America at the Crossroads, in appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. This is a desperate time for America. American culture is changing faster than ever before, and George Barna understands this. His new book, America at the Crossroads, shows the explosive trends that are shaping America, along with how, why, and what you should do to shape our future from a Christian perspective. We stand at a hinge in history, and the clock is ticking. You may delay, but time will not. To receive your copy of America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And a reminder that we're asking for those who the Lord leads to join CRI's monthly support team. If you're an occasional donor, thank you for being part of the team. Thank you for standing with us, shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle of truth. But I want to encourage you to consider becoming a member of the support team this month so that your support will shape the minds and change the lives of people day in and day out. Support team members are like our special forces. Please consider doing that, and when you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. I want to take a quick Facebook question and then back to our callers. This is from Blake. Maybe it's not a quick Facebook question, but it's a very important one. And I'll explain why in just a moment. According to an ABC affiliate in Omaha, writes Blake, ancient Canaanites survived biblical wrath. DNA evidence proves this. You may even know someone who derives their ancestry from the group of people. Any help you can provide on this? So in other words, the ABC affiliate is saying that the ancient Canaanites survived biblical wrath. DNA evidence shows this, and so as a result of that, the Bible has to be wrong. And of course, this is fairly tame, Blake, when you start looking at what else has been written in this regard. This is a question that has been asked over and over again, and this question is a question that has arisen as a result of what has been written, most of which is very sensationalistic. For example, study disproves the Bible suggestion that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out. The Telegraph. The Bible gets it wrong. Ancient Canaanites survived and their DNA lives on in modern-day Lebanese. Pulse. DNA versus the Bible. Israelites did not wipe out the Canaanites. Cosmos. And then there's the Washington Post. Now, a study of Canaanite DNA rules out the biblical idea that an ancient war wiped out the group. So what's the message here? The message is the Bible cannot be trusted. The Bible is fraught with error. And these stories often cite Deuteronomy chapter 20 as proof. And the research studies say that DNA derived from roughly 3,700-year-old skeletons at an excavation site in Lebanon, a site that was formerly a major Canaanite city-state, shows that present-day Lebanese derived most of their ancestry from a Canaanite-related population, which therefore implies a substantial genetic continuity in the Levant. since at least the Bronze Age, the Levant being the epicenter of the Middle East. So, bottom line, if all of this holds up, as further research is done, modern-day Lebanese people are descendants of the ancient Canaanites. But even if that research holds up, it may or may not, but even if it does, the research does not disprove the Bible. It does something very, very different from disproving the Bible. Instead, this new genetic study is simply one more confirmation of the biblical account. All you have to do, again, is learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. The book of Judges explains that the Israelites never drove Canaanites out completely. In fact, if you read the text, there are passages that say that the Canaanites will become traps for you and their gods will become snares for you. And the dominant biblical language of driving out indicates that extermination passages are not to be taken in a wooden, literalistic sense. Driving out or dispossessing is different from wiping out or destroying. You can't both drive out and destroy at the same time. So the point here is that God's commands to destroy the nations inhabiting the promised land of Canaan should never be interpreted in isolation from their immediate context. The command to destroy them totally, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 7, is contextualized by the words, "Do not intermarry with them, for they will turn your sons and daughters away from following me to serve other gods." So we see the aim of God's command was not the obliteration of the wicked, but the obliteration of wickedness. Furthermore, let me say this. God's martial instructions are qualified by his moral intent to spare the repentant. And no greater example of that can be given than Rahab. Now remember, Rahab was a Canaanite. She's also a prostitute. Probably more well known for being a prostitute than a Canaanite, but Rahab and her whole family were allowed to live among the Israelites. Not only that, but Rahab, the prostitute, came to hold a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ, which underscores a very significant point, which is not only that God unequivocally commanded Israel to treat the aliens living among them with respect and equality, but that there are blessings for those who repent. Of course, the concern for foreigners clearly demonstrates that the mercy that was shown to those who by faith repented of their idolatry and were therefore grafted into true Israel is a maxim. It's a principle. Again, blessings for those who follow, cursings for those who rebel. So this idea that the Bible has been disproven comes as a direct result of people not being able to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And here's why I wrote my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. In the first half of that book, what I do is I demonstrate that the Bible is divinely inspired. It is a trustworthy authority. But in the second half of the book, I teach people the art and science of biblical interpretation so that these kinds of passages are not used to discredit the Bible, or when they are, you have an answer. And this is one of the things that I lay out in some detail in my book, Has God Spoken? And Christina, I think you have been reading that book.
I have been reading it. It's very good and very in-depth. I remember having an apologetics class, and I never got nearly as in-depth as I did, as we do in this book. And I think something like regarding that quote that you always talk about is Proverbs 26:4-5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. I think it's always wise to take what people say and to look at Scripture and be like the Bereans are and to examine Scripture. The problem is that people look at this stuff and they don't even look at Scripture or care to understand it in its full context in order to figure out what's going on. I mean, like, the fact that you don't even know that Rahab is in the lineage of Christ, it's like, and she was a Canaanite, it just baffles me that people say things without ever actually looking at the text and giving it its due.
And sometimes they do that because they have an agenda. And you give the perfect example, answer a fool, don't answer a fool. And on the one hand, Psalm is saying answer a fool. On the other hand, he's saying don't answer a fool. So which is it? So a lot of people pose that as a contradiction. And as you just pointed out, that's one of the issues I deal with in terms of apparent contradictions in my book, As God Spoken. Back at the phone lines, we'll talk to Steve in Abbotsford, British Columbia, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. So I've got a question for you that's a little off the beaten path, but it's been kind of eaten at me.
Okay.
I walked away from all forms of Christianity when I was in my late teens. But I've recently decided to turn back, and I've chosen the Catholic faith, but my wife is non-denominational and kind of disagrees with my choice. How do I deal with that? Like, I've been looking at the scriptures, and I haven't been able to find anything that I've been able to get any answers from.
Yeah, you know, this is a very, very difficult situation because it involves interpersonal relationships, and the most significant of your relationships from a human level is your wife. The two cleave to one another and they become one flesh. And this is one of those things that I think you need to be gentle with, something that you need to be patient with, and you should be able to give a good reason why you want to go from one church to another church. In other words, this is something that needs to be discussed, and there should be dialogue here, but there shouldn't be acrimony. This shouldn't become contentious. I mean, this is something that if you fully understand the issues involved, then you have a point of dialogue. But oftentimes, these dialogues are based on misinformation. So sometimes, instead of pontificating, we're better off asking questions. Why is it that you resist this? Or what is it in your particular church or the non-denominational context or community that you find so precious? And through that discussion, you can come to a meeting of the minds. And again, very, very difficult, but the other thing that I think that I would like to point out in this context is that God has his people everywhere. God has his people in evangelical Protestant contexts. He has his people in Catholic contexts. He has his people in Orthodox contexts. As I've traveled the world, if there's one thing I have learned, it is that God has his people everywhere. So again, in dealing with this, I mean, it's a matter of patience and discussion, and hopefully you can come to a mutual understanding, because I think it's important that you're not divided in worship, particularly in the family. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers.
America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. That is true wisdom. And that's why this month, the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic resource America at the Crossroads, explosive trends shaping America's future and what you can do about it as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are offering George Barna's strategic book, America at the Crossroads, in appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. We live in a tumultuous time. Upheavals and reversals in culture, popular opinion, morality, race relations, socioeconomic status, and so much more have entire generations feeling off balance or out of touch. How do we keep pace with the breathtaking rate of change in our society when we can hardly find time to keep up with our own racing news feeds? And in the face of such enormous cultural forces, is there anything we can do? In the book, America at the Crossroads, best-selling author and cultural analyst George Barna turns his researcher's eye to the most significant trends, compiling and distilling salient information for busy readers who want to shape culture rather than allow it to shape them. To receive your copy of America at the Crossroads, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, but what you're just saying about support for those who do support the ministry already but have not joined CRI's monthly support team, love to encourage you to do that. When you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. The quote of the day comes from T.S. Eliot. He was a very important 20th century poet. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature 2 years before I was born, 1948. And the quote of the day comes from him. And I think what's interesting about this is he wrote this 8 decades before the decade we're living in. So think about the relevance of that 8 decades ago and how much more it is true today than it was when he actually penned these words. And again, the quote of the day by T.S. Eliot is, "The endless cycle of idea and action, endless invention, endless experiment brings knowledge of motion, but not a stillness. Knowledge of speech, but not a silence. Knowledge of words and ignorance of the word. All our knowledge brings us nearer to death, but nearness to death, not nearness to God. Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information?" You know, every age has its own moniker. You think about the Industrial Revolution or the Roaring Twenties, or think back to the Middle Ages. Today, we're said to live in what's called the Information Age. And people can access information at staggering rates. But with the information, there is also a precipitous decline in understanding, which is to say, there's a huge decline in the ability to process information, to be able to think critically about the information that we're reading. It's one of the reasons that fake news gets around as well as it does, because people don't have discernment skills. I got a particular letter today from someone who was telling me about something that I read at the web. And when you read that, you immediately should have alarm bells going off, because it's very clearly untrue. It's fake. And yet people oftentimes buy into that which is fake because they don't understand discernment. And discernment is critical in an age of information overload. Again, T.S. Eliot gave this quote more than 8 decades ago. And his point was that we shouldn't confuse information with knowledge or knowledge with wisdom. I often say that wisdom is the application of knowledge, and that, of course, speaks to the whole area of discernment skills. One of the reasons I use that particular quote today is because it comes from A Practical Guide to Culture. It's one of the epigraphs in the book written by John Stonestreet and Brett Kunkel. I got to make sure I pronounce that right, Brett. Helping the next generation navigate today's world. You know, your name, Brett Kunkel, is not all that hard to pronounce. You should try Hanegraaff sometimes. A Practical Guide to Culture, and also the other book that we have available, interesting book, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future, What You Can Do About It by George Barna. I think you've just about finished George Barna's book. You like that one?
I am halfway through it. I do like it because I think it it really gives us a picture of what exactly is kind of the landscape that we're dealing with in America. Like, you can't really know how to tackle something unless you know what that something is. And so being able to grapple with these facts, is such as like how many people that are really church going and how many people are like, what's the predominant political viewpoint, will help us in knowing how to engage the culture and how to ask the questions that are necessary to get people kind of in a direction that we would like them to go.
Yeah, how we can be effective witnesses.
Mm-hmm. And we have a Facebook question that I think is particularly interesting. You want to do that now, right?
Sure.
Okay, we have a fascinating Facebook question from Oliver asking, why wouldn't the genealogy lists in the Bible be accurate in telling us how long humans have been on the earth?
Yeah, well, I've answered that question a number of times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I think the big mistake that people make in this regard is to think that genealogies are a sequential. But if you look at genealogies in the Bible, again, discernment tells you immediately that they're not sequential, they're symmetrical. In other words, they're deliberately arranged for a purpose. And you certainly see that in the book of Genesis with 10 genealogical constructions on one side of the flood and 10 on the other. Well, that's a kind of a giveaway. You see this in Matthew's gospel, 14:14:14. That's not gratuitous. It is a way of arranging the genealogies so that they equate to the name of King David, Israel's quintessential king. So I think it's important to recognize the difference between sequential and symmetrical. I also think it is critical for us to not use genealogies in order to figure out how old the universe is or how old the world within the universe is, because the Bible is not intended to answer that question. It's not chronologically giving us an answer to that question. It's about chirology. It's about God's purposes in creation. If you want to find out how old the universe is or how old Earth is, there are other markers that you can look at, and those markers are found in a second book, if you will, a book that we call the Book of Nature. And there is a book of knowledge and there's a book of nature, and both of them are discussed in one of the longest Psalms in the Bible. So you can see those books. One is special revelation and the other is general revelation. General revelation is very, very important because God has left his imprimatur on the universe that he has placed us in. And of course, that's particularly true with you and I as human beings. He's left his imprimatur on us as human beings. We're made in the imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God, and that makes all the difference in the world. Another Facebook question from Ruth. I know the Old Testament prohibits eating pork, but does the New Testament also prohibit eating pork?
No bacon?
Nope.
What?
No bacon. Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about this is you can eat your bacon if it's healthy for you. I mean, this is one of the things my wife is trying
true.
To get me to eat healthy things, and so are you. I mean, it's one of the reasons you came back from Hong Kong, just to make sure that I'm eating healthy. It's why you make me drink a green drink, which I just found out through some friends that have gone through cancer. Is a very good thing to do. So I'm really thankful for that green drink now, although it does taste like bark. But let's talk about the pork. You could eat it. Maybe it's not best for you to eat it for physical reasons or dietary reasons. However, for spiritual reasons, we should not abstain. Jesus Christ made clear in the New Testament, it is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his belly that defiles him. It is what proceeds from the heart. And what's interesting about that is Mark appends the words to this. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So what's the takeaway from that? The takeaway from that is that in the Old Testament, there were civil and ceremonial laws. Those civil and ceremonial laws were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The reason we don't go back to those laws is if we do, it's a failure that Jesus Christ has come to fulfill, not abolish, but to fulfill. I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, Jesus said. I came to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So again, this is not an abolishment of the law. We recognize through the civil and ceremonial law that Christ has fulfilled them. And therefore, we should never, ever go back to the type when the antitype or the fulfillment has come. Now, there are a lot of people that are doing that today. There are a lot of people that are trying to make us wed ourselves to Old Testament prescriptions when Christ has already come. Well, what's dangerous about that? Well, the writer of Hebrews says what's dangerous about that is that that is tantamount to trampling upon the very sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And people do that in all kinds of ways. I mean, there are people today who believe that we should build another temple, that there'll be a third temple in the tribulation, there'll be a fourth temple in the millennial. And it's an outrageous thought when you think that a temple not built by human hands has come, that the ultimate sacrificial lamb has given his life for the sins of the world, and therefore to go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice is an outrage. And Christ made that clear when he walked this earth, because there were people who did not want to recognize that he was the living temple. And we, of course, are stones in that temple. He is the head, but we're stones in that temple, living stones in the temple of God. The kind of language that the Old Testament uses for the priests is now being used for believers. We're called a priesthood of all believers. We're called living stones in the temple of God. What an outrage to go back to luminous limestone or glistening gold when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And that is the central narrative of all of the scripture, that Christ came and that through Christ we can find salvation, and even beyond that, we can find true union with God, fellowship in the Trinity, the very thing that we have been created for. Well, we're out of time for this week's programming. Next week, we will be taking a lot of calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and numerically 888-275-4265. Also going to be doing some Facebook Lives next week and a whole lot more. If you haven't listened to Hank Unplugged, the podcast, check it out on the web at equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcast. We're out of time. See you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are offering George Barna's strategic book, America at the Crossroads, in appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.